feeling so much to need the Lord's merciful and gracious help, I am compelled to venture this evening in directing your thoughts to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and reading verse 15. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and reading verse 15. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Dear friends, is there not the danger with us as we are living in these exceedingly solemn days to lose sight of the power of God? His power is the same today as it has ever been, and his power is the same as it was in the life of this poor man. And you may have noticed, and this is why I felt we must read the few verses in the fourth chapter. What does Jesus say in verse 35 in chapter 4? And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And we have read together of what took place in that journey. The great storm of wind that arose, and as the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. The miracle which the Lord Jesus performed on that occasion. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And the Lord Jesus here put forth his power, and what wondrous words they are, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But if we could be helped by the Holy Spirit to consider this, that the Lord Jesus must go over the sea at this time to meet with one poor sinner. A divine purpose was in this journey. And you may have noticed in verse 21 in this fifth chapter, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship, unto the other side. Much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Well, oh, that the Lord might be pleased to bring home upon our hearts this evening that his power is still the same. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And if we are helped to consider just a little at least of the divine purpose that the Lord Jesus had in going over this sea from one side to the other and from the other side back again. And it was to meet with one poor sinner. And the Lord knows how we have come to the service here this evening. And the Lord knows all that concerns us, all that is going on in each of our lives. And I am thankful with this thought especially that I do not know how any of you have come to the service this evening. But the Lord knows. He knows how any of us have left our home to come. And he knows all that's going on in our lives. But really, in this wondrous account, surely we have a description of the whole fallen human race in our fallen state. And I wonder how we may respond to this thought, but in our fallen state we are no better and we are no different to this poor man who had his dwelling among the tombs. He had his dwelling, as we have read this together, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. The Lord is indeed a sovereign in the way in which he deals with everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm sure with those of us here this evening that have any real hope that we have been born again and have been brought through the gateway of regeneration into the narrow way that leads to life eternal. If any of us here this evening could be helped to tell out a little of the way in which we trust the Lord has dealt with us, each one here would speak of that sovereign way in which they humbly believe the Lord began a work of grace in their hearts. But I'm sure that it is right to say that in measure at least, this is where the Lord found us. Yes, you may have not left off coming to the house of God. There could be those here this evening who could say that they were never unwilling to come to chapel. And yet if the Holy Spirit has quickened our souls into life, we shall know in measure of the same Spirit that was found in this poor man. And yet Jesus must go over the sea to find him. And oh, may I remind you then that the Lord's power is the same today. His power is the same. And if I may be helped to just look a little into this, to think that the Lord, knowing that this man was where he was, and oh, if we could be granted even this thought together this evening, and any of you that have come here with a burdened heart, and the Lord knowing why you have come with a burdened heart, but oh, may we not forget this, that the Lord's power is the same today. I was looking at that well-known hymn just now in the vestry. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. What else does it say in that hymn? You listen. At peace with hell, with God at war, in sin's dark maze they wander far, indulge their lusts, and still go on, as far from God as sheep can run. What else does it say in that hymn? But see how heaven's indulgent care attends their wanderings here and there. Oh, hard at heels where'er they stray, with pricking thorns to hedge their way. And so we could go on with that hymn. But really, you know, the substance of the subject that I have felt I must venture with this evening, it's all found in that hymn. And the wonder of it. And so the Lord knows how it is with all of us. And I cannot refrain from saying this. Those of us here this evening that have children. And what a thought it is. Some of us here, we have children that at this present moment are right out in the world. And yet the Lord knows where they are. Oh, may we not lose sight of that. What a thought it is that the Lord knows where all are to whom he has an eternal purpose of grace. You think of it, he knows where they are this evening. He knows how they're living. He knows all about their life. Friends, isn't it true that we tend to lose sight of the fact, the truth, that omnipotence hath servants everywhere. His method is sublime, his thought supremely kind. He never is before his time and never is behind. But it certainly was so in this poor man's life, wasn't it? May I just tarry a little longer here? And may we think of this. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Immediately. Oh, if we could but have just a glimpse of the divine power of God in this, in the salvation of sinners. Why, the Lord went over the sea to find this poor man. And the Lord's power is the same today. Again, I say to you, the Lord knows where these poor sinners are. He knows where they are. He knows their rebellion. He knows how they live. He knows their determination to go their own way, to live their own life. And Galileo-like, they care for none of these things. And yet if we are made honest before God, wouldn't we have to say, Lord, I'm no different. I know better. In our fallen nature, we're no better. We're no different. Friends, why are we here this evening? How is it that we're here this evening? Well, isn't it because of what the Lord has done for us? Isn't it because of his mercy made known in our lives? Oh, if we could be helped to rightly consider this then. And where was this poor man who had his dwelling among the tombs? And no man could bind him. No, not with chains. You think of it. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I was reading only a day or so ago of one of God's servants in the days of his unregeneracy, and how he was determined to have his fill of the pleasures of this life. And he was speaking about this when he was an old man and through the mercy of God had been called by grace. And he said how when he used to come home after fulfilling his own pleasure and doing what he wanted to do, he had a godly mother who used to put her hand on his shoulder and just say, "Oh, my dear boy." Now the Lord used it. The Lord used it. And the Lord alone knows what effect what any mother or father may say to children, the Lord knowing all about it. Well, what a consideration then we have before us. Because that he'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Why, what a description we have of our fallen nature. And yet the wonder of redeeming love and mercy. Oh, think of it. Might the Lord even use this thought in any of our hearts this evening, that the Lord Jesus must go over the sea to the other side to find this one poor sinner. And you know what happened when the Lord had found him? Why, those that were there, they desired him that he would depart out of their coast. But the Lord must go over to find this one poor, tormented sinner. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, I can remember sitting in the cinema in Tenterden at the time when there was considerable fear of the disease or illness that we would know as polio. And I can remember sitting in the cinema in Tenterden, and you know, there was this thought, what if that should come to me? And you know, if you really think about this, there was a voice in it. And even with those who at this present time are right out in the world and living their life as is pleasing to them, with no thought or desire seemingly regarding their never dying souls, and yet we do not know, with pricking thorns to hedge their way. And so it was here. Why, what a hopeless case we have in the account of this poor man. And if we consider this in the day in which we live, and any of us here this evening, that know what it is to be burdened about a son or sons or a daughter or daughters, and realizing and having to feel something of the truth even that we have here before us. Well, there is a period known to God. And I wonder how many of us here this evening could say, yes, I know that it is so. And I can remember in those days when the Lord knows my heart in this, when I went after the things of this life, and yet there were the pricks of conscience, there were the things that happened, there were the things that made me consider my ways. Perhaps I might be allowed this thought. If I remember rightly, it was an Easter Monday. You know, there was a time in my life when all I could think about was motorbikes. Yes, I had them. And I can remember this day, yes, you know how it is. On these special days in the year when we would have services, as of course they are now, and Easter Monday at Stone and elsewhere, some motorbikes racing, grass track racing, as it was known in those days. Yes, and I went. And what happened? Well, a number of those that were in those races were injured. And the Lord used it to make me think. Oh, I well remember it. And I went to chapel in the evening. And you see, that is just a little instant in my own life. Well, may I come then with that that follows here. And to consider this. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But I thought as we were reading it, perhaps I've never ever felt it quite the same before. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Do you believe that's possible today? Friends, do we believe it's possible today? Wouldn't we have to cry with a dear man, with his afflicted son from a child? And he had to prove, as we have had to prove, that the Lord's own disciples could do nothing for us. But where do we find that poor man? When the Lord said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And how do we find the response from that dear man's heart? Well, we find it in this same gospel. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And yet if you ever thought that the Lord healed that son, bring him unto me. And he healed him. Now this is God's word. These are not my words. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Do we really believe? You'll join, I believe, with the dear Father this very evening, and you'll come and you'll say it with tears. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And if you think of it, the Lord's power is the same today. The Lord's power is the same today. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Now, if we are helped to really think about this, I wonder if any of us here tonight as parents have known what it is for this same language really to be in a poor sinner's heart, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What am I to do with thee, Jesus?" And those who may be saying this, have said this, do say this, that they want nothing to do with religion. Well, what a mercy then. I really felt that the Lord compelled me to come to Jairus with his word this evening. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee?" And the wonder of it is this, that he could not resist the Lord's power. Now, he couldn't resist it. You may remember when you tried to resist it. You may remember when you thought you were resisting it. But do you also remember when a little of that same divine power reached your heart? And when you were first brought as a poor sinner to the feet of Jesus and began to cry for mercy. Do you remember such a time in your life? I do. But you see, the thing was this, that the Lord came over the sea not only to find this poor man, but again to use the truth in that hymn of ours to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Why, how glad he was then to leave the tombs. How glad he was then to leave that awful state that he was in. And why? Because of this. Jesus was speaking. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Well, a friend came into the vestry just now and I said to ask him what the first hymn was. And he said, "Well, it's 320. And that encouraged me because of this subject, really. Why? God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints." And I wonder if there are those of you here tonight and you could say, "Yes, that's just how I've come to chapel." "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head." Why, as I mentioned perhaps in prayer, have you ever thought that William Cowper was going to take his life? You may have read the story. He ordered a cab and he told the man where he wanted to go because he was going to throw himself over a bridge to drown himself. Have you ever read the story? And that cabman, he knew the way, and three times he went round and came back to the same place, until suddenly light shone into poor Cowper's heart, and he knew that he'd been preserved from taking his own life. Well, if you forget everything else that I may have said this evening, I hope that you might go home with this, that the Lord's power is the same today. Isn't it true that we tend to lose sight of this? Yes, we are living in solemn days. Yes, there is a withholding of the Spirit's power, but the Lord's work is still going on. And when the Lord speaks, it will be done. We do not know with what means or in what way he may yet arrest. Almighty love, arrest that man, arrest that woman. But when the Lord does it, it will be done. Well, I wouldn't be here this evening, would you? But for the mercy of God? Well, these are truths, one hymn writer has said, these are truths, and happy he who can well receive them. Now let me come then to the other side of this, because, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. It was divine power that drew this poor man to Jesus. And friends, his power is still the same. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God." Did you notice the wording? "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." He wanted to be left alone. And yet he was drawn by this divine power to the very one that he wanted nothing to do with as he dwelt among the tombs. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Oh, if only the blessed Spirit of truth might convey this into any of our hearts this evening. This is the Lord speaking. "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Are you waiting for such a day? Are you praying for such a day? Do you believe it can happen? Well, the Lord alone knows. But the Lord's power is still the same. Then the Lord begins to deal with him. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." You think of it. These devils in this poor man. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus. Now I felt I had to read that verse. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let me just ask you this question. Do we really expect to see poor sinners back in the house of God again? Do we really expect to see them again? The devil will say to you, "Well, it's impossible. You'll never see them." But friends, the Lord's power is the same. Have you ever been favoured in believing, as it were, that they will come? They shall come. You know, I remember all those years ago when dear Mr. Percy Labour was in this pulpit and the Lord brought him here with a burdened heart, and in his sermon, those of you that may remember him, and he said this in Jireh pulpit here, "S-H-L-L, they shall come. They shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born." Why? And what will they say when they are brought, when they do come? What will they say? They'll say this, that he hath done this. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. Well, oh, to be enabled then I think of the lines in one of our hymns. Still pray, for God will all explain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Have any of you come here this evening feeling to have come to the end, as it were? It reminds me of a certain Lord's Day in Black Boys Chapel, when a poor burdened mother came with a son of hers who was right in the world, and she felt she could pray for that son no more. And what happened? Well, she comes to chapel, and the minister who was preaching that day, he stood up and he began to speak about his own life, and he began to speak about what the Lord had done for him. And he literally said this, really, and it went right into that dear mother's heart. Friend, don't give up praying, because here I am. Here I am, a sinner saved by grace. And the dear mother, of course, she was encouraged still to pray, and ere long, we were told, that very son, he began to come into the house of God. And in the Lord's own time, the Lord made him a minister. You know, we're living in solemn days. And if we are left to that awful sin of unbelief, we may feel something like this. And we may, well, the Lord doesn't appear to work these days. You may have had thoughts like that. You may feel, well, the Lord doesn't work like that today. But let me just say this to you. Is it because of your unbelief? Is it because of my unbelief? Oh, well, the Lord knows. Well, what a word then we have here, and I must soon leave these few thoughts with you. And they come to Jesus. You think of it. Here were these very people, and they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And what was done? And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Oh, that we could be favoured then in believing. I may never know, but I hope the Lord has given me this word to come with. That's the only way I can put it. But think of it. If we think of it, perhaps you may think of your son, your daughter, you may think of whomsoever it might be, but if we really think about this evening, to think like this, that such poor sinners can be brought to the feet of Jesus, just as this poor man was, sitting, the first evidence, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And oh, you see the effect of it all. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their cars. Now, I can't leave this subject without just bringing you to this in closing. What do we read about this poor sinner? And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Friends, do we believe it's possible? Do we believe it's possible that such poor sinners could even yet be brought to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found? You know how they'll come? They'll come like this, and they'll point to his redeeming blood and say, "Behold the way to God." Amen.
Close by singing hymn number 244, and the tune is Kensington 166. Number 244. Our Jesus is the God of hope. He works it by his power. It holds the weak believer up in the distressing hour. The darkest cloud hope pierces through and waits upon the Lord, expects to prove that all is true throughout the sacred word. Hymn number 244.
Thank you.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God with the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.